Country Life on Midlands 103. Brought to you by W. Orshaw Burlington Business Park Tullamore, your main supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands. WORshaw.ie.
Now, good evening and welcome to Country Life here on Midlands 103. MJ Cleary with you for the next hour, bringing you the latest from the Midlands and further afield from the worlds of agriculture, food and agribusiness. Now, thank you all for joining me this evening and a quick week since this time last week, as usual. I suppose during the summer, look, days go very quickly and some great weather over the last few days. I was up the country in Mayo, Sligo at the weekend, and the world of hay being made. A little bit of rain promised for this weekend, but temperatures still in the early 20s, so lots of heat in store again. Other than one very hot day, quite dull days actually with us over the last few days, and I know we're going to be conscious of soil moisture deficits, but not glaring sunshine, which is good for growth. And on to this evening's programme, and this week is Farm Safety Week. So there's events taking place throughout the country everywhere, from childhood safety to respiratory health. And this Friday is Mental Health Awareness Day. So that being a huge and often overlooked part of agriculture, if your mental health is not great and you're stressed, then you'll not be in a good place to make decisions. And this is where accidents can happen. So with more on this, Minister Martin Hayden will join me to speak about Farm Safety Week later in the programme. Murtha's Organic Farm is located in Ballinacarrig, County Westmeath, and they've taken a different approach to that of the average farmer, where farmers would sell produce from the farm at local farmers' markets. They've gone that extra step. They've actually set up their own farmers' market on their premises, and they have up to 20 traders there now every second Sunday. So the next step which they're looking at is attracting tourists to the premises for farm walks and also the possibility of accommodation. There's lots planned for the enterprise, and we'll be chatting to Chris Murta a little bit later here on the programme. It's right in the thick of show season, and Ossory Show takes place this Sunday. Well known for their truck and vintage cars, there's also a huge selection of cattle classes, including the Glanbia 1000 Euro Friesian Calf Competition. When I say there's something for everybody, I really mean it. I have the list here in front of me, and there is about 100 different things on the Ossory Show, this Sunday. So jam-packed lineup, and Peter Ging from the show will join me a little bit later to talk through things. Now, give me a text, and I'd be happy to read out your text to our listeners, or if you just have a comment to make, let me know. I'm on 083 30 10 103. To start this week, the Farmers Journal are having an open day just out the road from us here in Screggan on the Tullamore farm, and it's going to be all go next Tuesday. Declan Maron from the paper joins me now. Declan, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Evening, MJ.
Declan, we'll have a chat about the open day in a few moments, but first, a little brief chat on the cattle trade. If we're looking at factory prices at the moment, what's this week doing?
Yeah, look, there's been downward pressure in the last few weeks there, MJ, but I think we're kind of seeing that bottom out at this stage. You're talking bullocks working off a base price there of 480 to 490, heifers maybe 5 cents ahead of that, 490 to 495 in spots. It's really worth pricing around there at the moment, because if there is factories with an order to fill there and short of numbers, they're willing to pay that little bit more. So definitely I'd be urging people to get a few quotes there and around the place.
And mare trade in the last couple of weeks, has the warm weather affected it in any way? Look, very, very, very strong trade for heavy cattle last few months, start of the year really. And I know that's still ongoing, but the lighter store stock, has the heat wave affected buyers?
It probably slightly more down south than it has in the west. Still serious trade in the mare in the west. No issues there. Further south, yeah, seeing a slight slackening off in trade. It's probably down to one, grass growth, and two, maybe people offloading cattle a little bit sooner than maybe they planned. But overall, those heavy cattle are still a good trade because the numbers aren't there. They're still in good demand. It'll be interesting to see now as autumn weanings come through in the next few weeks. They're starting to trickle through there in small numbers, but it'll be interesting to see how they go. You had seen weaning prices fall back, but again, it's on very small numbers. So once those top quality autumn type of stock come out, you usually see the average prices increase there. So, the outlook is fairly good for the mare trade over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I had a price from Ross Gray, our local enough mare to us here in the Midlands, and last Friday, 4 400 kilo Angus bullocks made it €1,000 a head, 250 a kilo. Like, it is a great price. Obviously, look, they were nice to get that, but very strong money for a store animal.
It is, yeah. I mean, you see those farmers doing the autumn calving, you know, they're usually 100% AI, or a lot of them are AI, so you have that top quasi calf coming up, and you know they're a specialist outfit, so that they don't have to turn them out.
And the big day then you have next week, Declan. I remember I was at this a couple of years back. There was obviously none last year as a result of COVID. I was probably at the last one, I suppose. Probably 2020. That's where most events were that I'm featuring now.
There was
a hiatus. And I remember the day I was at it, it was very good, very well set up. And the one thing about the Tullamore Farm open day, it's accessible, it's easy to get around. Sometimes you go to these things and there's so much stuff going on, you can't see them. But this is a day solely for beef, well, beef and sheep. But there's a big push on the beef side of things on the day.
Yeah, so 200 acre farm, but like calving down, spring calving, 90 cows, 250 ewes, spring lambing as well, mid-season lambing flock. So it's a commercially ran farm. We took a 15-year lease out on the farm, owned by the Grogan family. And, you know, we say every decision bar the first decision on that farm is commercially based. If we were making a financial decision at the start, we would have put a milking parlour in the middle of it. But after that decision, every other decision is trying to maximise the profit on that farm. So, look, there was huge investment on the farm in terms of fencing, roadways, drinking troughs, all that kind of thing, because it was mostly a tillage farm. So again, we took the decision to put all that infrastructure in year one, rather than do it in dribs and drabs over the 15 years. We said we'd do it all year one, and that year we get the full 15-year payback of having that infrastructure in place. We have one full-time labour unit there, so everything has to be made as easy as possible. Sean Dever is the farm manager there. He does, we're working over 90% of the stock are mated to AI, so it's a huge undertaking every year to get the breeding season getting this over the line. And we calve from first week of February on then for 12 weeks this spring, and then lambing starts on around St. Patrick's Day, so it's a busy time in spring, and once you get that over, then it's straight into breeding, so it's all go down there.
Yeah, and I just see on the day then there's farm tours, trade stands and workshops. And as you said, look, you spend a lot of money on it in year one. And, you know, as it was a farm coming from yourselves, it's nice to see something like that. Look, the average farmer is not going to be able to do that. They're going to be working on a farm for a lifetime, I suppose. But I remember when I did attend it a couple of years back, like, everything is done to the letter of the law, electric fences, stock proof, boundary fences, water troughs, you name it. And even seeing that, you're going to generate something, an idea for your own holding. So taking a tour around and a walk, but you also have trade stands and you have workshops. I'm presuming sustainability, that word now that we can't have a conversation without that word anymore. Declan, I'm sure that's going to be kind of a main tenet of things out there next week.
It is, of course. Look, we have to reflect what's happening out there. We have a sustainability specialist, Siobhan Walsh, with us in the Farmers Journal. She'll be there on the day. There is some multi-species swards been sown on Tullamore Farm. We've done some more hedgerows. You know, we're seeing, we've done carbon samples of all the soils to give us a baseline of where we are on the farm. And, you know, we'll do them again in a few years' time to see if we are sequestering carbon. Again, as I said, you know, that tillage ground that is in constant tillage probably has lower levels of soil carbon than, say, some of the heavier ground that would have been in cattle production. So it's interesting to see that. But Siobhan will be going through all that on the day. We have everything from the financials of the farm, of every system that's there, through the beef and sheep. You'll see the cattle, you'll see this year's calves, you'll see our in-calf heifers, which will be going for sale in October. You know, the whole works is there to be seen on the day.
Yeah, very good, Declan. And just people who are attending then, what time do gates open at?
So we're kicking off around 10:30, and then kind of groups will be going off every 15, 20 minutes after that. So you can come any time that suits you during the morning time, and then in the yard. So you'll make your way through all the stands. It'll probably take you an hour and a half to go through the main stands. Then we have exhibitors and lots of trade stands in one of the fields then before you make your way into the yard. And then at 2:30, we're having a forum with three beef farmers, with Trevor Boland from Sligo, a part-time beef farmer, Mark Duffy, an organic beef farmer from Monaghan, and Thomas O'Connor, a full-time beef and sheep farmer from County Kildare, and our own Phelan O'Neill, market specialist, will be there on the forum as well. And they're going to chat about you know, the future of suckler beef in Ireland and some of the challenges that we're also faced, which are many at the moment.
Yeah, Manny is right. Declan, look, there's a big lineup there, no question about it. And next Tuesday, 26th of July, I'm going to say many thanks for joining me this evening.
Perfect. Thank you, MJ.
Declan Maron there from the Irish Farmers Journal. And I said that is next week, and that's the first open day there in a couple of years. It's well worth attending. It's free, obviously. And look, there's lots going on. There's a panel discussion as well from 2:30. Cap reform, what does it look like, future for beef farms, panel discussion, questions. And look, there's lots to see. The one thing that I always like about this enterprise is it is solely commercial based. Every decision, as Declan said, is made in order to maximise profit. And look, it's the way you have to look at all areas of agriculture, but especially beef farming. And they're doing some big numbers there in relation to 15 and 16 month old bull beef, getting those into 1,800, 2,000, 2,200 at the moment, with about a ton and a half a meal. It's a really, really efficient system, and you can get to find out all about that as well next week. Now, just before I go to a break, there was a little bit of news on the fodder scheme this week. So that fodder scheme has to be applied in the next couple of weeks. The date escapes me. I believe it is the 2nd of August, but it could be the last day or two of July. I'll double check that. But look, if you haven't applied for that fodder scheme, get into it now over the course of the next few days. It's the €1,000 payout for farmers. However, there is €56 million for it, and it is looking like it's going to be oversubscribed, and there's concerns that there may be cuts. So fingers crossed, there will be no cuts in relation to that, and they'll be able to get some money from somewhere else, because the €1,000 won't be long being sucked up with fertiliser prices at the moment. Another very interesting stat I read this week, and this is an eye-watering one. Average pig farm has lost €336,000 this year, and that's from Chagas, and their average payout is expected to be €82,000. So look, you don't have to be a maths genius there to see there's a shortfall of just over 250k, a quarter of a million so far the average pig farm has lost. So just completely unsustainable figures there, and I really don't know how pig farmers are surviving at the moment. Lastly, read a good article from Dara McCullough in the Farming Indo on Tuesday of this week, and he was talking about trying to set up a little farm shop at the gate. He's farming up in County Meath, and he has a lot of traffic going by the gate. There's a main road on the way into Dublin, and he said the amount of red tape there was in relation to planning, to going to the county council, was there enough viewpoints for cars pulling out? And at the end of it all, he said, policy makers, do they wonder why farmers don't diversify more? And I had to laugh. You see, there's so much about diversifying on your farm and bringing in additional investment, and then there's so much red tape to get through. By the time he got through all the red tape, Darren McCullough, the leader funding was actually gone. That's how long it took him to get through the planning process and to get through all of the different areas and all of the different hurdles he had to surmount. And it is one that the powers that be need to be cognizant of. Now, coming up after the break, going to be talking about farm safety with Minister Martin Hayden, so stay tuned for that. Now, you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103, and it is Farm Safety Week, and a host of events occurring all around the country. We have Minister Martin Hayden, Minister for State at the Department of Agriculture, on the line. Minister Hayden, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Happy to take the call, MJ. Good to talk to you.
So look, Farm Safety Week, a huge amount of events, as I said here, and look, it's on a really, really important subject, Minister.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, every week should be Farm Safety Week, really, in terms of never missing an opportunity to discuss the importance of farmers having awareness to this. And I'm not only a minister, a state and department, I'm also, as a TD for Kildare South and Laois, I'm also a farmer myself, and all my neighbours are farmers, and I know all the pressures there are and all the reasons there are why things that need to be fixed around the farm get put in the long finger and we don't prioritise them. But, you know, can you deal with the likes of the Embrace Charity down in Abbey Leaks, and their own family and the great work they've done, and you meet with victims' families, you know, the thing that strikes you the most is that nobody ever thought that a farm safety incident or fatality would knock on their door and would come to their yard. And that's why we really need farmers to understand that they are their farm's only irreplaceable asset, and they can't be done without. Everything else can be. And, you know, maybe to take the opportunity this week, in particular with their partners and with their children and even grandparents, because farming is all about the different generations, to take an opportunity to look around your farm with a fresh pair of eyes and to identify the hazards that are there that maybe we've become familiar with or that we think aren't that serious, and make a resolution to address them straight away. Maybe it's a cracked manhole cover, it might be a dodgy PTO shaft, a broken light in the yard that can actually lead to a fatality, don't put those things off. Fix them, or get someone in to fix them that can do that safely, and let's reduce the risk there is around our farms.
Yeah, and there's an interesting array of events over the course of the week. One that's catching my eye, a couple of catching my eye. One tomorrow is about respiratory health. And again, this isn't something we would see too much or hear too much of in on farms, but obviously a big issue.
Yeah, respiratory health is a really big issue, and farmers' lung and all the likes are problems that, you know, again, farmers tend to put themselves in harm's way. We put ourselves secondary to all the tasks that need to be done. And whether that's, you know, dealing with musty hair and in dusty environments that can really have a debilitating effect later in life, whether it's, you know, going up a ladder without someone holding it at the bottom and working at a height, we take risks all the time, and then we have near misses and we just think that's okay. And we really need to be identifying what those hazards are. But for Farm Safety Week, we have a different team on every day. So respiratory health is tomorrow. Mental health is another day. And, you know, mind and our physical health and our mental health are inextricably linked. And farming is a solitary life where we have a lot of pressures, from worrying about the weather to worrying about the price of produce, the cost of inputs. And all those pressures can get in on top of us, and particularly if we're spending most of our days on our own and we don't have someone to talk to. So really important for farmers to know as well that, you know, there's help out there when things feel like they're getting on top of us. And the hardest thing you'll ever do is having that first conversation with somebody that maybe you're not coping well and that you need a bit of help.
Yeah, the mental health is a massive one. There's no question about it. And I suppose, as well, as you say, they are intrinsically linked. But maybe, you know, people don't kind of think like that, and they don't kind of realise maybe that, look, if my mental health isn't great and I'm stressed and I'm not making good decisions, accidents will happen on the farm.
Yeah, definitely. And as Minister with Responsibility for Farm Safety, from the word go when I was given this job 2 years ago, I was determined to operate farmer mental health and well-being and physical well-being and their health with farm safety. As you say, they're inextricably linked. You know, if we can't mind ourselves well, then we're not going to be able to mind our stock or mind our crops, and not going to be able to operate as safe as possible. So it's about looking at everything in a holistic view. And that's why I've introduced a number of initiatives through government. You know, we have the On Firm Ground scheme where we're training advisors to signpost supports to farmers that are showing distress. And we've accelerated capital allowance scheme, which is supporting farmers financially to make investments in their yard that will make their yard safer, whether it's for cattle handling facilities or different elements like that. And there's a range of initiatives and supports there, so there's no excuse for us not to intervene, and there's no excuse for us not to seek support and help that's there.
Yeah, the accelerated capital allowance one, Minister, can you just explain that to listeners who might not be familiar with it, please?
Yeah, so what that is it's basically a tax write-off against some really useful farm safety equipment, like, you know, the likes of anti-backing gates and crushes, quick hitch systems for tractors. But there's also a number of adaptive equipment in there as well, because when I was dealing with a brace and others, it became very clear to me that, you know, we talk and the headline figures are the unacceptably high level of fatalities there are in Irish farming. But there also is an awful lot of people who suffer life-changing injuries. And, you know, where a farmer survives that, maybe they can't get back to work, they're down that income, but psychologically they need to be able to get back and work as well. So the accelerated capital allowance also covers, and details of it can be found on the Department of Agriculture website. But it also covers for people in wheelchairs, that we can have a hoist to get into a tractor, changing for people who've lost a limb, changing from foot controls to hand controls. And these are the type of incidents that are happening and people are suffering this type of injuries.
Yeah, no, 100%. And they are the people who need to get back as quickly as anyone. Leaving farm safety for a moment, Minister, just the Farming Independent ran with a headline yesterday: fodder scheme farmers may not get full €1,000 payout. Have you any good news for us on this? Everyone needs this €1,000 now this year with the cost of fertiliser and inputs.
Yeah, look, it's too early to say, but, you know, in a way that's a pointer to the absolute success of the scheme and how badly needed the scheme was. €56 million was the amount we secured from the Department of Public Expenditure. Was a lot of money for us to get for a scheme, but we made a very strong case to the ministers in finance as to why this was needed. And obviously, if it is oversubscribed and if everybody who says they're going to cut 10 hectares, which is the maximum, does so, then that pot I'm not aware of that pot going to get bigger. So, but we'll just have to wait and see what the final figures are and what farmers do. But, you know, it just does point to exactly how needed this intervention was for farmers, as well as the other interventions that we've had for sectors. And, you know, the upcoming budget, you'll hear Minister Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath talking about the cost of living impact, and what we're doing in the Department of Agriculture, is, along with my ministerial colleagues in there, is to make a really strong case to the Department of Finance that farmers, as consumers too, are suffering all of the pressures of the cost of living. And I would hope we can have a number of couple of other measures in the budget that can support farmers with the increased cost of inputs as well.
Yeah, well, if the 1,000 is down, Minister, you might have to do a bit of shouting for us now, because it's badly needed this year. But just the other big point at the moment, obviously, is the emissions negotiations. Can you just give us an update on it at the moment? Obviously, everyone in agriculture looking to get down around that 22%, and then we have the ban between 22 and 30, and Farmers Journal said back last year if it was 30%, it was going to be over 50,000 jobs lost in agriculture. So it's really important times in these negotiations for farmers.
It's absolutely crucial time, and you know, every sector we're given their range as part of the climate action plan, and now the next step is for every sector to have that range drilled into a specific point. And one thing I've been at pains to point out and to rebut against some commentary in the media and by certain quarters that, you know, the 22% measure, if agriculture was to get that somehow would be a free pass or business as usual for agriculture. There is no doubt that farmers are up for doing their bit. And, you know, the difference between 22% or 30% is the difference between 5 megatons reduction or 7 megatons reduction of CO2 equivalent. 5 megatons equivalent is an awful lot, and that's a very ambitious target for agriculture, 22%. And, you know, the people who are trying to suggest that that will be a free pass in some way is not the case. Farmers aren't saying they're not up for doing their bit. They are, and they've been on a trajectory of adapting new measures like, you know, earlier slaughter date, better genetics, low emission slurry spreading, multi-species wards, and we just need the broad spectrum of farmers to undertake those points. But we also need some future developments as well that we're putting a lot of research into now. So feed additives, which, you know, are proven very successful and will come on the market later this year in a product called Treenup, are proven to reduce the methane output of animals by about 30% when they're fed in a housing situation. We need to develop that technology to also cover, you know, the pasture-based system. And I, as Minister with Responsibility for Research in the Department of Agriculture, I'm also looking to partner with New Zealand because we share an interest in this area. But we need, and agriculture needs that bit of time to do this. So there's no question that farmers or agriculture are looking to get away and not have to play their part here. But the target that is set and is finally agreed for agriculture has to be one with which we can work within. And
where do you think that target will be, Minister? What do you think?
Negotiations are ongoing at present. They're at a sensitive stage, so I'm not going to get into a bit more of where figures are at. But the one thing I would say to MJ though as well is, you know, in terms of farmers, the only ever hear negativity about climate and scaremongering and a sense maybe by an urban-based media that they're the problem and they're laggards, which I know isn't the case. They're custodians of the land and we want to pass it on to our next generation. The other point I'd make though is there are opportunities here for farmers in this area, and it's not all doom and gloom, and we are looking to develop a micro-generation scheme where we will be able to have farmers have solar panels on the roofs of their sheds and be able to sell that back into the grid. And after the cost of the solar panels has been covered, you know, have a steady income each year coming from that microgeneration. Also, we're doing huge work on calculating the carbon in our ground so that we...
Well, you must have read my mind there, Minister, because I was just going to say it. We are shooting in the dark a small bit here with these negotiations because we really have no idea how much carbon our land and hedgerows can sequester. So even if we negotiate on 22 or 24% now, or whatever the case may be, we just don't have any notion how much land or how much carbon our land can sequester. So you mentioned research. That has to be paramount to try and get those figures.
It's absolutely paramount. I'm in charge of a budget of about €20 million in the Department of Agriculture, which is on top of the work that Chagas and other bodies are doing in terms of that research. But you're dead right. We have to get the baseline figure of what carbon is in our soil so that farmers have the potential to be rewarded in the future for farming in a way that their land sequesters more carbon. But whether it's microgeneration and solar panels and roofs or a shed, or it's carbon farming, or adapting a little bit of anaerobic digestion into our farming system, I don't envisage any of that taken away from farmers' primary role as being food producers. You know, we see with Ukraine, and I keep making this point in Dublin, that and my colleagues in Fine Gael are doing the same, that, you know, we see with the Ukrainian crisis, food security is not something that can ever be taken for granted. And if we stop producing beef or dairy produce tomorrow here in Ireland, there will still be a demand for that around the world, and it will be produced by countries who do so less efficiently, who don't have our pasture-based system, who maybe are cutting down rainforests to do it. So I think this talk of a lazy narrative around culling the national herd is just that, and it's not something that I see being let happen, because we're very much determined that farmers will continue to produce food, but we have to do it more environmentally efficiently into the future with a lower emission profile. And that's the right place for farmers to position themselves as well, because we want to continue to target the best value markets around the world for our produce. Trade is my area and responsibility in the Department of Agriculture as well, and new market development. And I see that. I see the type of markets that we're in, that we want to retain our position in, and the new markets we want to get into, pay the higher value for that higher level of climate ambition. So this isn't just because we have certain coalition partners in government. This is the right way to position agriculture and our food production systems into the future.
Very good, Minister. We'll leave it there. And I say many thanks for joining me on the programme this evening.
Thanks very much.
Mr. Martin Hayden there. And as we said, Farm Safety Week was the initial topic there. And we just moved into a couple of different areas. One of them being the massive emissions negotiations. And they're ongoing at the moment. We couldn't get a word from the minister there on where we're at. But I just feel the carbon sequestration, we're shooting in the dark at the moment. We're negotiating without knowing what hand we have. It's like playing poker without only having a couple of cards in front of you. And we just have to get figures on that quick. We're not going to get them before these negotiations, obviously, but the sooner we get them, the better, because the amount of carbon we can sequester between soil, between hedgerows, between trees, between grass, between you name it, there are limitless possibilities. So good to hear work is being done on that. Now, coming up after the break, we are going to be speaking about Ossory Shoad, Peter Ging. So stay tuned for that. And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. And we are talking about the Ossory Show now. And we have Peter Ging on the line. Peter, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
You're welcome, MJ.
Peter, we'll launch into the show in a moment. But in advance of that, look, had you on before talking about dairy farming, well-known dairy farmer. And how are you finding 2022? You must be delighted with the milk check every month, Peter. Things are good.
Milk check is very good, but expenses going out the other end are good.
Are good as well. On the whole, how do you feel 2022 is going to go from a dairying perspective? Look, milk prices is very high. I know inputs are high as well, but should outweigh them.
Yeah, I think it has been a good year so far. For us anyway, it has been a good year so far. Like I said, the milk price is good. Now, inputs are very high. Diesel, electricity and fertiliser, they're the three main ones, I suppose, that are really high, you know.
Mm. And we were talking to Minister Martin Hayden there before you came on in relation to the emissions negotiations. Are you conscious, Peter, of what's coming down the line in relation to what you're going to have to do to meet all of these demands?
Well, we're hoping it's not going to be as bad as what they're talking about. That's, I suppose, where we're looking at, you know. I suppose there's going to be big changes in farming. You know, but still food has to be produced at the end of the day. Yeah. People have to be fed.
Yeah, and that's kind of...
You know, if we don't do it, will some other country do it?
Yeah, exactly what was said earlier in the programme. And moving on now to the Ossory Show. Peter, you're back after 2 years. So 2019, I actually thought it was 2020 you were on, but 2019 was the last time. So 2 year hiatus. And look, shows are all flying it around the country as a result of them being back after COVID. And I have your... line up here in front of me, and my word, I will say, but this is a diverse range you have on. You must have 50 different things on this weekend, Peter.
Well, there's an awful lot of things on, from vintage to modern tractors to cattle to everything, you name it, it's there, you know.
I'm looking in front of me here, you have trucks, you have female calf competition, you have the most glamorous granny, you have little Miss Ossory, most suitably dressed boy, you have trade stands, flowers, crafts, poultry, eggs, lady side salad, you have a Glanby, €1,000 Frisian calf championship, 2,000 super beef championship. You really have it. It's a really diverse range. It must have taken some organisation, Peter, again now, to get all this up and running.
We haven't a big committee, but they're a very good working committee. The committee is not that big, but everyone works very well together, and I say that's the reason that's there. And, you know, everybody puts a shoulder to the wheel when it comes to the time to get it done.
Yeah, one interesting one there I see is the Glanby 1,000 Euro Friesian Calf Championship. Your own association with the Holstein Friesian Association, Peter, is that your baby, that one?
That's my baby, yes. Yeah.
And will you get calves from around? Will they come far away? What's the normal classes in relation to that?
We've calves coming from Limerick, Cork, Kilkenny, Carlow, kind of all around the area. We actually have nobody from Offaly.
And what age group are you talking there for that, Peter?
We're talking about a baby calf, which is this year's calf. Just a January calf this year.
Yeah, very good. I'd say you'll see some fine stock. There's also 1,200 euro Ossory Crossbred Belgian Blue Championship. That's a fine prize, 1,200 now. I'd say you'll get some good cattle for that.
We actually have four other pedigree Belgian Blue classes as well, which is 1,000 euros a class, which wasn't on the sheet I sent you there.
Yeah, so there's good prize money.
Four All-Irelands, they're four All-Irelands Belgian Blue classes. Yes, it's very good prize money.
You also have a Meadow Meats 2,000 euro Super Beef Championship. What animals enter into that class, Peter?
Well, they'll be normally under two and a half years. They can't be over 2.5 years. They'll be from that down to maybe, you know, a year old, that size calves.
Another thing you're as well known for as all your cattle classes and everything is the massive truck side of things, truck pulling competition. There's trucks, which kind of isn't the norm with a lot of shows, but it's turned out to be something very big for yourself. And you have a truckers barbecue Saturday night the 27th, and there's music and there's entertainment there as well. So it's a real weekend event you've gone on.
Yeah, it's a weekend we have for the truckers. They come in and they park up and they have a weekend and plenty of beer and plenty of, you know, they have
music
a good thing song.
Yeah,
they have a great weekend. Like, it's kind of a holiday for them, in other words, a holiday weekend for them.
Yeah, very good.
And to make great use of it.
And your own showgrounds, Peter, where exactly are you located for people who are attending?
Well, we're located, it's about a mile and a half outside Rathdowney, which would be at Coolfin Cross, if anybody knows where that is. Mm-hmm. We'd be between Dunamore, Ballacolla and Rathdowney, really, in that area, you know. We wouldn't be too far from Junction, where the plaza is over there at Manor Stone. We wouldn't be only a couple of miles from it.
You're not a million miles from it. And in relation to entry fee then, Peter, how much is the ticket?
We're still charging only 10 euros. We stuck at the 10 euros. We said for getting the show back on the road, we stick at the 10 euros.
Wow, okay, yeah, very good value. So
it's not too dear, and children are free up to 14.
Up to 14, wow. Well, Peter, look, you're going to have a massive turnout there. With the amount you've gone on, there's going to be people from all over. And weather is given good Sunday, I believe. I think Saturday's a bit of rain, but Sunday's decent. Am I right in saying that?
Well, I think the weather is to be reasonably good anyhow, but your people are looking for rain in places, so...
Fingers crossed it'll blow over the Ossory show anyway. Peter,
we don't want it on Sunday anyhow.
No, 100%. Well, Peter, look, we'll wish you all the best with it. A massive turnout there, and I'm sure you'll get a big attendance. And we'll speak to you this time next year, please God.
Lovely. Grand thanks, MJ.
Peter Ging there from the Ossory show, and really is an awful lot on there. I was going down through it. You couldn't read it out. There's that much stuff happening. And there's literally, 50, 60 different things here in front of me on a sheet. And what an amount of organising there is going into something like that. And great to have it back. Big show here in the Midlands, and first time in 2 years. Now, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about Murta's Organic Farm. Very interesting, this farm, I have to say. A lot of organic producers, they sell their wares direct at farmers' markets. But Murta's here, they took the bull by the horns and they set up their own farmers' market in their farmyard. And now they have up to 20 stall holders selling their wares there, every fortnight. And it's a huge success. So we're going to be talking to Chris Murta from Murta's Organic Farm in just a moment. Stay tuned. And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Now, we are moving on to Murta's Organic Farm, and I have Chris Murta on the line. Chris, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
No, that's great. Thanks a million. Thanks for having us.
You're more than welcome, Chris. So look, we'll get a bit of background on the enterprise first. So look, you're Brandon, or your name is Murta's Organic Farm. Have you always been farming organically there in Ballinacarrigy in County Westmeath, or did you get into it recently? What's the background of the enterprise?
We're there since about 25 years in organic farming. I left school 84 and I went straight into farming. And probably about 10 years after that, we decided to go organic. and never looked back. So it was we were producing a lot of lamb, supplying Marks and Spencers, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we just looked, seeing that it was the way to go.
And back in 1994 now, we're talking quite a while ago. I know a big push in organics at the moment, and email in here from the Farmers Journal, the front cover tomorrow is lump sum payments for farmers to go organic. They're really trying to get people organic at the moment. But 1994, there wasn't the same push on it. What inspired you to make the move back then, Chris?
Well, it was just basically the quality of food. That's why I wanted to go back and go into organics. I thought there's too much fertilizer going out. People are just putting out fertilizer for the sake of putting it out back then, you know. So once you got your reseeding done, you got your clover in, it helps produce nitrogen. So it's a much cheaper way of production.
And with your current system then, so you were sheep farming back in then, and say selling to the likes of Marks and Spencers and different supermarkets. Did you change your method of production then in the last number of years, or how would you describe the enterprise now?
Well, I suppose in the last number of years, I got into landscaping and house renovation, that type of thing. So we eased back a bit on the farming.
You actually went and made some money, Chris, instead of in a home the whole time.
Some money had to be done. Bought a farm of land. It had to be done.
Yeah.
But no, we're kind of coming back more into it now. So we decided to go into the more tourism end of it. And we will be producing some lamb in the near future, please God. But we decided to start up with a market last October. Thank God it's been going great. We have 15, 20 stallholders there.
So as I said at the outset, Chris, I think this is an exceptional story. Many a time I'm interviewing people here on the programme, and they take the brave step of going selling their wares at a farmer's market. And I'm always very admirable of people doing it. A lot of time and effort goes into it. And really putting yourself out there with the customer. But you went the next step, and instead of selling your wares at it, you actually set up a farmer's market in your farm. This was a very good idea, but not something everyone would think of. What was the impetus behind it, Chris?
Well, I suppose there had been a local country market, and it had stopped with COVID and everything like that. And I just wanted something that was actually on a farm, not just where you walk into a hall or you walk into a big room and everything is picture perfect. I wanted it actually on a farm, let people come out, see the animals. We do rescue animals there as well. We have pigs and donkeys and goats. And it's a kind of, we're gearing towards a family day out as much as a market. So like when you come out to the market, you'll see all the animals as you come in. We converted a big flat shed. That's where all the stalls are in there. We do it at the mouth side as well. There's a lot of room, so we can take any amount of stalls, really.
And what sort of stall holders have you attracted to the market?
We do vegetables, eggs, there's home cooking there, there's bread, apple tarts, there's knitting, Tupperware, we've ones off handmade pottery, we've candles, aloe vera products. There's a chap doing metal design. He's the only there with us in the last few weeks. He set up a new business, and he's absolutely doing fabulous stuff. We do a food van there. We do burgers, crepes, coffee. What else? We have printed cards, photo prints of wildlife things. There's knitting, there's Tupperware. A lot of crafts, and then there's local honey then as well from a farmer just up the road.
Yeah, you have a wide variety. No question about it. On the paperwork side of things then, Chris, look, when you decide to do something like this, say insurance is something that maybe springs to mind. Was there much hassle in getting that side of things sorted?
No, the insurance was very good. We were with AXA for the farm. They were very, very helpful. And then IMS for the actual market itself. You have to have two separate insurances, you know.
And so, you're running the market, it's fortnightly, so which is it? Is it the first and the last of the month?
The next one is on the last Sunday, so the 31st, the start of the fly here in Mullingar. But it's every 2 weeks then, every second Sunday from 12 until 4 o'clock.
12 until 4. But you have greater plans for the enterprise as well, Chris. This is just a start. Tell me what the future holds.
Well, we'll be hoping to do farm walks and tours, putting in a sensory garden, and maybe hope to get accommodation, as in the yurts, camping, log cabins, go down that stage. It's kind of educational, you know, maybe school tours, private groups, or just anybody who wants to come and see. We're on the banks of the Roy Canal. There's about 25 acres of forestry there, as well as the farm. There's some natural bog there that hasn't been touched for maybe 20 years, it's more before there's been turf cut on it. It's just to show people what the countryside is all about.
Where do you think the entrepreneurial blood comes from, Chris, when you're looking at all these different areas and you're looking at different ways of making money? Is it something that's in you from birth? Was it something you inherited from your parents? Where do you think it came from?
I suppose it's something I always wanted to do. I always wanted to develop the farm more than actually just for food production, because I think a lot of people don't actually know where the food is produced. They don't see the food being produced. They don't see the work that goes into producing the food. And it's nice. I think it's just want to open up the farm and let people get a view of what country life is really about, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Now, you're not doing it all on your own, Chris, as well. You have an able-bodied assistant there, and we'll have to give a mention to it, or you'll get in trouble.
Oh, I will. I'll be in trouble, all right. No, growing is great, that's me. We got married there last year, and probably that was I needed a little push to actually just get over the line and get all this up and running. I wouldn't have... I've been a long time thinking about it without actually doing it. So, Ryan gave us that extra push and help to get it.
And
get
for people, Chris, who may be thinking of going down the organic route, and they mightn't be thinking of selling direct or whatnot, they might just be thinking about it, and there's good money there now in the lines of payments, especially if you have a decent amount of land. What would be your advice to them if they were thinking of going down that route?
Well, I think any business you go into, you have to kind of forget about the grants a little bit. Okay, the grants are nice and they're good to get, but you have to actually be making a profit as well. There's no point in working day and night and actually not making a profit. You need to get your niche markets in there. And I think with the quality of the food we have here in Ireland, it's to the like of all being that they should be actually pushing the quality we have here. And for organic farmers, you need to be selling maybe directly to restaurants, hotels, to get the top quality price, you know. Mm. If you're putting in and you have the good product there, you need to get paid for it.
Yeah, no, 100%. Well, listen, Chris, we wish you all the best. Murtagh's Organic Farm, you're Ballinacargy, County Westmeath. And Sunday, 31st of July, is your next market. And every fortnight thereafter. So we wish you all the best, Chris. And hopefully you go from strength to strength there.
Thanks a million, appreciate it.
More than welcome. Chris Murtagh there, Murtagh's Organic Farm. And great to see real entrepreneurial spirit there. In agriculture, and that's it. At the coal face of it, trying loads of different things there, and anything that can potentially be commercially viable. Now, just before I go, just running through the headlines of the Farmers Journal there tomorrow. I mentioned this earlier on, lump sum payments for farmers to go organic. So the organic farm scheme, there's a sweetener of 2,000 a year in year one, in addition to the payment per hectare. So really looking to push farmers into this. Dairy farmers who convert will receive 350 a hectare and 300 a hectare upon conversion. And lots of different figures there, but the push is to get people farming organically. Dutch farmer protests continue. This is something we featured on the programme last week. The farmers on the continent, especially in Holland, are really, really not taking well to these environmental proposals. And there is a lot of dissatisfaction in that part of the world. Shows no sign of stopping. June milk prices surge past 52 cent a litre. And of course, there's extras on that, fats and solids and whatnot. Excellent, excellent price being paid for milk at the moment. No question about it. And last one, the climate targets. Minister is willing to agree emissions target in the coming week. So as I said to Minister Hayden earlier on, where were we at on it? He wouldn't tell us. He was saying tight-lipped. But we might have news for you on that next week. Now, that is it for the programme this evening. I'd like to thank you all for listening. And I'd like to thank all of our guests as well. We had Chris Murtagh there from Murtagh's Organic Farm. Peter Ging from the Ossory Show. And that's on Sunday. And arrive in good time. There's a lot to see in Ossory this weekend. Minister Martin Hayden joined me to talk about farm safety. And just to remember that, it is Farm Safety Week. So maybe have a little look around the farmyard that you wouldn't normally look and see if there's a few little things you can do to help safety. And also, children off school at the moment are the priority, just to be very, very careful with machinery and whatnot. And lastly, Declan Maron from the Journal joined me to speak about the Tullamore Farm Open Day. That's on next Tuesday, and that's an event well worth visiting as well from a beef farming perspective. I'll be back with you all this time next week, and the show is repeated on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Pádraig Devaney is standing in for Joe Cooney, so he's going to have Country Roads with you for the next couple of hours. I'll speak to you this night next week. Good night. God bless.